Welcome to The Clever Cookster, your window into the kitchens of the world's best cooks. I'm your host, Kara Broda. Before we get started, a quick word from our Cookster podcast sponsor. As seen in the New York Times and Oprah magazine, Beautiful Briny C is an artisan dry goods company that offers salts and sugars with flavors like Magic Unicorn All-Purpose Seasoning, French Picnic Herbes de Provence Blend, Hot Steve Spicy Salt, and Mr. Giggle Pants Hibiscus Sugar, all of which are sure to add a sweet or savory touch to any dish. Go to www.beautifulbrinyc.com and use promo code CLEVER to receive 15% off your first order today. That's beautiful, BRINYSEA.com. And now back to our podcast. Our guest today is Justin Chappell. He's the Test Kitchen Senior Editor at Food & Wine and has actually been on the Clever Cookster podcast before talking about his last book, Mad Genius Tips. He's now joining us to talk about his new book, Just Cook It. Justin, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks for having me on. And, you know, I actually have some news. I'm actually the culinary director now at Food & Wine. So it's a few steps up, but very exciting.
Of course. Congratulations. That is exciting.
Thank you. Thanks so much. Thanks for having me on. It's a pleasure. I'm really excited about this book. It's called Just Cook It. It's out everywhere as of May 1. So it's really exciting. I poured my heart into it. It took me a year to write it, so it's nice to finally get the book in my hands.
And the last book was really about sort of expert hacks and surprising uses for common things you have in your kitchen and really sort of how to hack home cooking a little bit. Talk about sort of what you wanted to do with this book and the direction that you're taking your audience here.
Well, I think so. You're 100% correct. The last book was about, you know, hacks, and that's really fun and it's an exciting topic. But, you know, with this new book, Just Cook It, I really wanted to go in a direction that was much more realistic in how people approach home cooking. So, you know, as I think I mentioned the last time we spoke, I've been at Food & Wine for many years. It's almost 8 years, or it's actually I think it's over 8 years now, which is crazy to me. But you know, in all of those years, I've spent so much time simplifying and testing recipes for famous chefs, you know, some of the country's best and brightest culinary talents. And along the way, I've learned, you know, when you should strain a soup, when you should not strain a soup, when you need to, you know, marinate something and when you don't. And what I've done is I've kind of coupled a lot of the stuff that I've learned with kind of how I grew up and how my family cooked when I was a kid. And I've kind of mashed up my two worlds, so my childhood and my life as a professional cook, and have offered in Just Cook It, I'm offering, you know, a really fun new way of cooking at home, which incorporates a lot of time-saving tips, but not hacks. So it's more, you know, realistic shortcuts that you might use at home.
I love that the first chapter in the book is party food and snacks, that you really just jump into the idea of cooking food that you can bring your friends together and give them something that they'll love. What are some of your rules for home entertaining, and what are some of the recipes that you turn to for party foods when you know you're going to have people over and you want to keep it simple but surprising and delicious?
Right. Well, obviously, I think you just pretty much identified rule number one, which is keep it simple. I think a lot of people overthink the types of food that they serve when they entertain, and that's for obvious reasons, because we all want to, you know, impress our friends or our family. But I think so rule number one is just keep it really simple. I always say use really smart techniques and shortcuts. So sometimes that means, you know, incorporating a really big, you know, a bang for your buck ingredient. Something like, for example, in my party foods and snacks chapter, I do a pickled beet dip, which incorporates jarred pickled beets. And it's a really smart shortcut because you just, you know, whiz them in a food processor with a few other ingredients and you get this really delicious dip that tastes like, you know, you put hours into it. So that's kind of keeping it smart. And then most importantly, I like to really drive this home that pretty much all of your party foods and snacks should be make ahead. Everything from your dips, they should be able to go in the refrigerator. You should be able to, you know, make meatballs in advance. You should be able to prep your ingredients so that all you have to do is kind of throw them together right before or right when people arrive.
Before we continue, a quick word from one of our Cookster podcast sponsors. Are you looking for a breakfast that's worth skipping the snooze button for? Thomas's is the only breakfast brand that delivers a one-of-a-kind eating experience with its original Nooks and Crannies English muffin. There's nothing quite like that Nooks and Crannies texture, perfectly toasted to give you irresistibly crispy edges with a soft, warm center. Take it from a true fan. The secret to revealing that perfect Nooks and Crannies goodness every time is to gently pull your Thomas's English muffin halves apart. You can also use a fork to split them, just don't use a knife. Next, lightly toast each half and then top them right away with butter. Watch how the butter just melts and pools inside all those amazing little Nooks and Crannies spaces. It's a delicious burst of flavor in every warm, toasty, buttery bite. If you haven't had them yet, you have to toast and butter some Thomas's Nooks and Crannies English muffins. They're truly like no other. And now, back to our podcast.
And how about this sort of weeknight dinner? I'm getting home from work. I'm tired. I don't really feel like doing it, but I know that I'll be happier making something than ordering delivery. What are a few of your go-tos and rules for making that really possible to do every night the way that we wish we could, but so few of us actually manage to get it together and do?
Well, I think first of all, something that is kind of sprinkled throughout the book, I definitely don't have a chapter on this, but I definitely use the slow cooker. So there's a few recipes in throughout the book that are great for weeknight meals because you can throw them together either the night before or the morning, and they're ready by the time you get home from work or school or whatever you're doing. A really great example of that is my lamb and sweet potato curry, which is it's kind of an American curry, you know, where I use Madras curry powder, but basically I toss together, you know, boneless leg of lamb with some sweet potatoes and a lot of spices and curry powder, and I refrigerate it overnight. And then all you do is you scrape that mixture into the slow cooker right before you leave the house in the morning, and it's ready by the time you get home. But you know, some other things that I kind of nod to in the book are really fun shortcuts. So use your supermarket well. Buy things that are not necessarily, you know, they're still really good for you ingredients, but they can do double, sometimes triple duty. And a great example of that is my ravioli lasagna. So rather than, you know, I like to call this like the weeknight lasagna, because lasagna is never something that you would ever make on a weeknight, because you first have to make your filling and then you have to boil your noodles and then you have to kind of layer it all together. But what I do is I take store-bought cheese raviolis and I layer it with just jarred sauce and some mozzarella cheese and some chopped arugula, and I just build it all in a baking dish and then throw it in the oven, and it's actually one of my favorite recipes in the entire book.
I love that. That's so smart. And one of the things that I really love in the beginning of this book is you have this little section on the wisdom of basics. And it's basically things that you feel like people should just know how to do and feel confident doing without having to Google them every single time, which I think is really important, like to build in a little bit of that confidence. And there are things like, you know, hard boiling an egg or making rice that's fluffy and turns out well. How did you choose those things that you thought were really, you know, things that a home cook should be able to call upon at any moment? And, you know, how long did it take you to fine-tune some of those techniques for some of the most basic things?
Well, it's funny because I actually, when I was writing the book and I decided I wanted to kind of do this wisdom of the basics section in the front of the book, I went to Facebook. I went on Facebook and Twitter, and I asked all my friends and my family, I said, what do you Google? What do you look up every time that you're cooking? Something that is really, really simple that you just feel like you can't prepare confidently. And so that's pretty much where I came up with this list, because, you know, if I know you've seen the book, but, you're the folks listening, if you get your hands on the book, you'll notice one of the first things in the basics section is crisp bacon. And the feedback I got from most people wasn't on exactly how to cook bacon, but how do you prepare it without making a mess in your kitchen? And so of course I offer the baking sheet technique for preparing it, but I just got a lot of questions from my friends and my family about, you know, I always mess up my hard-boiled eggs because the yolks come out green, or I don't know how to devein a shrimp, so if I go to the grocery store and they don't have cleaned ones already, I never buy it. Or my favorite of all is so many people feel like they cannot cook quinoa because they said they try to prepare it like rice and it always ends up coming out a little bit too wet. So in this section, I offer a really, really smart trick, which I learned from my friend Kay Chun, actually somebody I used to work with. And she actually taught me to cook quinoa like pasta. So you boil it in a big pot of salted water and you cook it until it's just tender. And then you drain it, put it back in the hot pan, and you let it steam. And it literally comes out perfect every single time. The whole technique is in the Wisdom of Basics in my book. It's a really, really smart, thing to know.
So much of your job as culinary director for Food and Wine is testing recipes and developing recipes for all of the Food and Wine properties. And in doing that, you're probably looking at a lot of recipes and looking at a lot of cookbooks. What do you look for when you read a recipe that sort of tells you that a home cook will be able to succeed with it? And what are some of the things that, on the flip side, you notice in recipes that are pet peeves that often kind of drive home cooks crazy?
Well, you know, there's a lot of talk nowadays about like people liking non-recipes where they like as little information as possible. But I happen to think that the more information you can provide in a recipe, the better. Because I think that not everybody cooks exactly the same, and not everybody's stove works exactly the same, and not everybody measures exactly the same. And so I think the more indicators that can be made available in a recipe really kind of make it more foolproof. So throughout my book, for example, I like to give a range of cooking time. Like I might say, okay, cook for 7 to 10 minutes, because for some people, if there's maybe their stove's a little warmer, whatever they're cooking might be done in 7 minutes. Whereas somebody who maybe has a stove that's not as strong, it might take them 10 minutes. So in addition to offering that sort of flexibility, I also offer tests. I like to call them tests. They're really kind of indicators that let you know you've gotten to the proper place. And for example, I would say something like cook until your gnocchi or your nudi is just firm, but still springy. And then I'll say cook for 7 to 10 minutes. And so the idea is as long as the home cook knows that it should be just firm and a little springy, then they can make a good call as to whether or not they should cook it for like 7 minutes or cook it for 10 minutes.
Justin, thank you so much for coming to talk with us today. It's such a really fascinating and useful book with so many delicious, easy recipes, and I can't wait to cook from it.
Oh, thank you so much for having me on. I really appreciate it.
Check out the book, Just Cook It, 145 Built-to-Be-Easy Recipes That Are Totally Delicious by Justin Chappell. And tune in next time on The Clever Cookster for more tips and tricks from the kitchens of the world's best cooks.